is the day that the Lord has made. We are to rejoice and be glad in it. How elated I am to be here. And certainly I know you're the same, to be in the land of the dying, on our way to the land of the living. God has blessed us tremendously, immeasurably, and I'm glad about it, and I know you're the same. We do ask you to pray for us and pray with us as we set our hearts to share with you the word of God. The word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We do thank God for our dear deacon, Deacon McLean, for devoting our hearts singing and praying and reading scripture with us. Certainly that's important in such a time as this, because the word is foundational. Heaven and earth may pass, but not one jot or tittle shall pass from his word. It's always good to see Reverend Pope, and it is good to be viewed by you as we delve into the word of God, and as you view us virtually in your prospective places. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father in heaven, we thank you again this day for keeping us and blessing us to see it and to be a part of it. Now, Lord, you are the shepherd of shepherds. We shall not want, because, Lord, you are our shepherd, and you make us to lie down in green pastures, and you lead us beside still waters. Lord, we're your sheep. We desire you. We need you. We ask of you to lead and guide us and direct our hearts in such a hard and horrendous time, this season of corona pandemic. But Lord, you are the caregiver and the caretaker and the captain of our souls. And you have not brought us this far to leave us. So we will trust you and depend on you, rely on you, Father, to do what only you can. Father, we ask you, as always, to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. And forgive us for sin of omission, sin of commission, sin of our head, hand, and our heart. Lord, we pray your blessings upon your people that are scattered abroad, this county, this city. Lord, the country, Lord, we need you to turn this thing around. For Lord, doctors and politicians can't do it. Lord, only you. As Deacon read, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. So you created it and you control it. Lord, free us that we may worship you. Restore us back to fellowship, that your name will be exalted in this place and exalted in our hearts. Lord, exalted in our minds. We just thank you and we love you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus the Christ. And every heart say amen. 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 Righteous living. We discovered by way of weeks ago that God wants us to live righteously. He wants us to live by his standard of right, what he has set forth as right. He wants us to live our lives accordingly. The Bible says that there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. It is not God's desire, nor is it God's will, that we be destroyed or perish. The Bible says, but that all of us will be brought to repentance. Chapter 6 is a continuation of Matthew chapter 5. And in Matthew chapter 5, it begins the Sermon on the Mount. And he reveals to us what righteousness looks like. It starts with attitude, and it bleeds over into our actions. Our attitudes controls our actions. He wants us to have practical righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. He said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, "Except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." And as I said before, it ought to be all of our desire to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I mean, we pray, we read, we study, we meditate on the word of God so that we can spend eternity with God in heaven. So it should be all of our desires to live with God in heaven. So we need righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Amen. He said in chapter 6, verse 1, he says, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." So he begins by talking about how we give. In verse 5, he says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." So not only should we be conscious of our giving, but we should be conscious in our praying that we are praying not to be seen of men. But then in verse 16, he says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Again, we should be conscious of how we deny ourselves in the flesh so that we don't do that or deny ourselves in the flesh to be seen of men. So our righteousness has to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. We can't be hypocrites in what we do and expect to live eternally with the Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father in heaven. Here it is in chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. He deals with worship by giving, but the worship by giving he deals with does not concern money or material possessions. So Jesus is teaching about giving of our hearts to God. So giving your heart to God is a way of worship and a way of into the kingdom of heaven. Hear me when I say this. God wants your heart. He wants your heart. If he doesn't have your heart, he doesn't want what's from your hand. Cain offered up a sacrifice unto God, but it was not accepted of God because he had not his heart invested in his sacrifice. God wants our heart. He wants our heart. God says to each of us, "Give me your heart." The question is not where is your treasure, but what do you treasure? Because what you treasure reveals what you spend the bulk of your time pursuing. Notice, if you will, he tells us how to invest our heart. Now, before we delve into this, let's try to get some understanding of heart. Heart is the Greek word cardia, which means the thoughts and feelings, the mind. Is the affective center of our being, the center of the personality, and it controls the intellect, emotions, and the will. In other words, the heart is the control center. Please get that. The heart is the control center. That's why the Bible says we should hide the word in our hearts. We should hide the word in our control centers so that we might not sin against the Lord. If we have the word in our heart, in our control centers, we will live a life that's pleasing to God. So tonight I want to deal with investment of the heart. Investment of heart. And gives us instructions as to how to invest our hearts. Invest not your heart in the things of the earth. Invest not your heart in the things of the earth. Notice verse 19. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Now, understand, he's talking about how to invest the heart. He says, do not invest your heart in the accumulation of earthly riches, because it's foolish to do that. Earthly riches, things like art, silver, gold, jewels, cash, cottages, cars, cruises, etc. These things fascinate us. A lot of us have a heart that's invested in the accumulation of these things, or in the enjoyment of these things. Now, notice, if you invest your heart in the accumulation of these things, you are challenged as to holding on to or protecting the things you have accumulated. Listen, let me tell you, as a child of God, as a Christian, that should not be your main focus in life. You should not be focused mainly and solely on protecting material things, wealth, silver, gold, cash, cottages, cars, and the list goes on and on. So we're challenged. We're challenged. We have, but we are challenged to hold on to and protect the things we have today, and we spend a whole lot of time amassing things and trying to protect the things that we have amassed from loss. We spend a lot of time trying to protect things that are not ours forever. Let me say that again. We spend a whole lot of time trying to protect things that are not ours forever. Things we accumulate are not eternal. They do not go with us into heaven. You've heard that old saying that you've never seen a hearse or U-Haul following behind a hearse. No. We deposit the body.
That's right.
But the possessions of the person we deposit in the ground remain in the earth. Mm-hmm. So they do not go with us into heaven. Let me say that again. They do not go with us into heaven. Think about it. We get stressed out. We are worried and nervous and edgy about having
and maintaining earthly treasures. But Jesus said
to us, he says to us, as Christians, do not lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He says, do not lay up for ourselves treasures on earth. Are y'all with me? If you lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, you will lose them. You cannot keep anything that's temporal forever. So notice the imperfection and the insecurity of earthly treasure. Jesus said, moth and rust corrupt, and thieves break in and steal. So earthly treasures have earthly enemies. Moth, rust, and thieves. Now he says that moth and rust corrupt. The word corrupt has moral significance. It is used of the complete change in appearance or the complete destruction caused by the slow but sure earthly enemies. Moth and rust denotes slow loss. So slow loss. Some things we lose slowly. Thieves denote quick loss. So moth destroy food and clothing. And rust destroys metals. James chapter 5 verses 2 and 3 says, your riches have rotten and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. So moth, they eat up our food and clothing, and rust destroys our precious metals. So we had a slow loss in life. We slowly lose the things we accumulate. Nothing we gather in the earth lasts forever. Jesus said that's a poor investment, to invest your heart in something that does not last forever. He goes on to say that we suffer loss by the hands of thieves. He says thieves break in and steal. People at that time had problems securing their riches and their wealth. Their houses were mud built. No windows in the house, no locks on the doors in the house. Therefore, it was easy for the thieves to break through and steal. But I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, that it is just as easy now as it was then, with all of our security systems and alarm systems. Thieves still can break in and steal. Even with the bars on windows and bars on doors, different locks. Some of us got three or four locks on one door trying to keep the thief out. And we still suffer loss. I want you to understand that thieves can come in several forms. Number one, a thief can be a burglar. A burglar, one who breaks in and quickly or instantly takes from us. But then a thief can be a banker. We put our monies in banks to be secure, and we can lose our money. A thief can be an investor. And as I was watching the market and losing money in stocks, I noticed that in this time of pandemic, that money was at a loss. Bankers and investors. But I want you to know that there's another thief that we don't consider, and it's death. Death robs us all of our earthly treasures. Let me say that again. Death robs us of all our earthly treasures. Job chapter 1 verse 21 says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked will I depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Every earthly thing that we are fortunate to accumulate and amass in life will be taken from us at death. Death takes instantly. You take no earthly possessions with you when you die. Solomon, he gives respect to this. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, he warns us of the senselessness of seeking after earthly treasures, investing our hearts in earthly treasures. Solomon had many wives and much riches, which turned his heart from serving God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 10 through 16, he says, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increase that eat them. And what good is there to the owner thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? The sleep of the laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept from the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth the son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that had labored for the wind?" He talks about how senseless it is for us to invest our hearts in seeking after worldly wealth and earthly riches. Paul warned his son Timothy of the danger of having a heart that's set on seeking worldly riches. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 5 through 11, he says, "Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." Jesus, he talks about the foolishness of investing the heart. Solomon and Paul talks about the foolishness of investing the heart. He says that we are pierced through with many sorrows. If you spend all of your energy and effort and all of your time and your heart, your control center is only after the pursuit of worldly riches, you're in bad spiritual shape. He says you never have enough. You know, that question is asking, how much is enough? Just a little bit more. And so you're never satisfied in pursuit earthly riches. And he says, you pursue earthly riches with such little understanding of how temporal earthly riches are. He says they'll be taken away. He says moth, rust, and thieves will take them, will ruin them. And so he says, lay not up. Verse 19, lay not up. Lay not up. Verse 20, he says, but lay up. Lay up treasures indeed, but in the right place. Let me say that again. Jesus in verse 19 says, lay not up treasures on earth. But in verse 20, he says, but lay up treasures in heaven. So lay up treasure indeed, but in the right place. Make sure you invest your heart in the right place. God. So Jesus is telling us to invest our heart in heaven. Invest our hearts in heaven. Jesus said, verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. There's a safe place for the heart. There are no safe places in the earth, but there's a safe place for the heart. And Jesus said the safe place for heart investment is heaven. Notice it says, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Where is heaven? Where is heaven? Paul was caught up in the third heaven. And he received revelation that was too great to utter. He was caught up in the third heaven. Most people believe that heaven is beyond the sky. That is up. We do know that is up. But where is heaven? W.F. Adeney said heaven is wherever God's presence is manifest and enjoyed. Yeah. Oh God. So to lay up treasure in heaven is to store it with God. So Jesus is telling us to store our heart with God. Store our hearts with God. So if heaven is wherever God's presence is manifest and enjoyed, we are to invest our hearts with God. Store it with God. To have your possessions in Him, to entrust your all to Him, to know that when you go to God, you will find your wealth. He says, store it with God. I remember the old church and how they would sing about storing up timber. When they sing the song and when they pray the prayers and when they hear preaching that they were sending up timber. You know, when you think about that, when you invest your heart, you're sending your heart to God. And I told us on the onset of this that God wants your heart. That is, if He doesn't have your heart, He doesn't want anything from your hand. And listen, if He doesn't have your heart, anything you do to so-called say that you're doing it for Him, you're not doing it for Him, because He wants your heart. So to lay up treasure in heaven is to store it with God, to have your possessions in Him, to entrust your all to Him, to know that when you go to God, you will find your true wealth. He says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. But then He says, treasures of heaven. Heaven is our treasury.
All right.
Lord, help me.
All right.
Only heavenly riches can be collected there.
Well,
now, he doesn't want all of this stuff that we try to give him down here. You know, I said a few weeks ago in preaching about the 10 virgins, you know, there was 5 wise and 5 foolish. God doesn't want any foolishness in heaven.
All right. Amen.
No, he doesn't want any foolishness in heaven. So you can't send that up there and expect that to be there when you get there. God doesn't want foolishness in heaven.
No, sir.
You cannot store earthly riches such as clothing and cash, silver, and gold, and jewels, and cars in the heavenly treasure.
All right. Amen.
No. Heaven has no room for low treasures.
Yeah.
Filthy treasures.
All right.
Oh, heaven is a place to store up unsearchable riches. Like faith is a place to store up your faith, a place to store your love, is a place to store pardon and peace and life and gladness, purity and power. So in heaven, you won't be storing up these tangibles, the tangibles that you have in the earth. The things that make us feel good and make us boast in the earth, you know, the houses and the land and the cars. Oh, no, heaven won't be a place for you to store up that kind of stuff. But it's a place for you to store your heart, and from the heart comes faith, love, pardon, peace, life, gladness, purity. And power. But not only do I see that we should lay up for ourselves treasure in heaven, the treasures of heaven is stored in the treasury. But then notice the safety of the heavenly treasury. There is no corruption. No corruption can break in the pure atmosphere of heaven. No moth, no rust can corrupt anything in heaven. No thief can break open its mighty gates. Death is powerless to enter its realm of eternal life.
Yes, sir.
So nothing can destroy or rob us of our spiritual possessions in Christ. God Almighty. Even in heaven, he's going to give us a new body that has no expiration date. Because there's no decay in heaven.
All right.
Notice the safety of the heavenly treasury. The streets are gold and all of that. Fine pearl and jasper and all of the rubies, and the water is pure. There is no impurities in heaven.
Well,
and he says it makes all the sense in Christianity for us as Christians to give of our hearts to a heavenly place. He says, invest your heart in heaven. We have become too earthly. Even in the church today, we have become too earthly. We're so crazy about this stuff that we have that we don't even give God much attention. We don't serve him as we should. We don't seek him as we should. We don't honor him as we should. We don't desire him as we should, because we got all of this earthly stuff that we are chasing after and pursuing after. And the more you get of it, the more complicated your life becomes. Because after you accumulate it, you're trying to figure out how to keep it.
Yeah.
How to keep it.
Yes,
Jesus says you shouldn't spend your life with your heart invested in earthly riches. He caps it off in 21, verse 21. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Therefore, if your treasury is on earth, your heart will dwell in this lower region. But if your treasury is in heaven, your heart will soar to the heights of God. Your thoughts, your very selves, dwell with what you prize most highly. Here is the greater danger than that of the disappointment of loss, and that is of the permanent degradation of a low affection. The main purpose for choosing heavenly treasure is that we may not set our affections on things of the earth, that we may have our thoughts and desires drawn up to what is heavenly. We should escape low-mindedness that gloats over earthly treasures and have a pure and heavenly heart that aims at the highest good. I leave you with Paul's words to the church of Colossae. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, he says, set your affections purpose on things choosing above heavenly treasure and not on things is that on the we earth. May not set our affections on
let
things
me say that again.
Set of your affection that we may have our
set your heart
and desires
on things above
to what
not on things
heavenly
on the earth.
Let me say this
in closing.
Low-mindedness.
I think this season allows us to put in perspective
earthly treasures
what really matters.
And have a pure and heavenly heart that aims at the
you
highest
can be sick
good.
With plenty of money.
I leave
that can't
you with Paul's
you.
Words to the church of Colossae.
That you can't
Colossians
even buy
chapter 3, verse 2.
He says, set your affections
purpose on things
choosing
above
heavenly we've been
treasure
and not on things
socially or physically separated.
On the
we
earth.
May not set our affections on
and
things.
And in the truth
on
your earth,
one that we may have our
set
thoughts
your heart
and desires
on things above
is
something not on things
that will serve
on the earth
to usher us out of here.
Let me say this in
closing.
Mindedness.
I think this
it puts it in perspective for us that we are not
allowed to
face
it
to put in perspective.
We live in
what really
matters.
And have
is,
a pure
is
and
dying by
heart
the day.
That aims at the
you
highest
good.
It's dark.
I leave
that can't
you with
words
to it's
the church
fading.
That you can't even buy
affection.
And so all that we have
is set your
affection.
It really doesn't matter much now
because we can't enjoy it.
And not on things
socially
but physically
separate.
The joy
we
have in Jesus.
Not set our affections.
We may not be able to go to certain places
where
we can
always
go to Him.
Set your heart
and He will
hear us
on things above.
Is something
He will commune
with us in our
heart
on the earth
to usher us out.
He will assure us.
Mindedness.
I think this
puts
it
in perspective for us that we're not
allowed
to
go
to
spiritual
perspective.
That's why our affection
and have
is,
a pure
is
and
dying should be
the
thing that
above.
Aims
at the you highest
good.
We should
focus
our attention on
its
fucking
life to come.
That you can't
even
buy
affection.
And so all
days,
that we have
that
set your affection
is going to be all
over
us.
It really doesn't matter much
now
because we can't enjoy it
with the Lord.
Socially
but
physically
set in
the
joy
we have
in Jesus.
Not set our affection
to be with
Him and
each other.
Set your affection
to be with
Him
and each other.
Listen, invest in your heart.
Set your heart.
And He will
give accumulations
with the possession
because
it's strength.
He will
commune
with
us
in
our heart
on the earth
to usher us out.
Restlessness and anxiety.
Mindedness.
I think
put your heart in
the Lord.
The Bible says
that
affection
is
in
God above.
Rest to our soul.
We should
focus
That's what we desire.
That you can't
that's what I desire.
And so all that we have
is going to be set in motion because we can't afford this coming. Be blessed, people of God. Be encouraged your heart. To invest your heart. To be moving and eternal. With fear and love and love can cause us strength.
He will come
in and serve. Still, restless. Father, I thank you again today for the awesome perspective of the perspective of the Lord is the share with us
to our soul.
Your true focus allows us to see
it's for the life to
that's what we desire.
That you can
that's what I desire.
And so all that we have
to set it in place
to our
lives that our lives will be cleansed and our ways come.
So
bless people of God, Lord, in your heart. To invest your heart.
We thank you for this moment,
this season,
that you have allowed
that we have
to have proper
respect.
But the thing that we have
promised to
you have a whole
promise of
Father,
I thank you again today.
And the things
you used to pursue,
the awesome
things
you consider to
be the
most important
share with
us to see
our soul,
which is focused.
They are nothing
allow us
to see
it's for the life
to God that we need
you.
That you
can ask
for the highest
chance
to do that.
We
take
cut off
the cross
into our
lives
that our lives
become the
case that all
has come.
We bless
people of God,
Lord, in
your heart.
Lord,
we do this
your heart.
Have
such a
misfame,
we see
such a
that you have allowed
all that
money,
profit,
respect,
loss of possession,
can't
cause us
to fail.
Loss of significant
people in
our lives.
You have a whole
promise of
your Father,
your man
today.
And the
things you used
to pursue,
the focus,
our hearts
were
fine to
us in our
respect.
Share
with us
to see our soul,
which is
focused.
It allows
us to see
for
God's
sake.
That you
can cause the
highest
of our sins.
We
take what all
of us for having
the wrong
perspective and
the wrong
perspective.
Help us, Father,
to put you
first.
Have
such a we're
not just talking about
a speech
that
you have allowed for
that
money
but
the thing
loss of
significant
people.
Let us
put you in
your
rightful
place.
And
if we
choose to
put you
more to
us,
then
our
hearts
will be
fine
to us
in our hands
before we
could ever
have in
the world.
We
will see
our
soul.
Thank you,
Jesus.
It allows
us to
see
for good
of
us.
Welcome
us from the
of our
soul.
Set
all of us
for having
the wrong
perspective
and the
wrong
perspective.
Help us,
Father,
to put you
first.
Lord,
we
redeem
your heart.
We're
not just
talking
about
the speech
that
you have allowed
for
that
loss
of
possession,
but
the thing
loss of
significant
people.
Let us
put you
in
your
rightful
place,
Father.
And if
they
choose
to put
you more
to
the focus,
then
our
hearts
will be
fine
to us
in our hands
before we
could
ever
have in
the world.
We
will see
our soul.
Thank you,
Jesus.
It allows
us
to
see
for
good of
us.
Welcome
us from the
heavens
of our
soul.
We
take
what all
of us for having
the wrong
perspective
and the
wrong
perception
has come.
Help us,
Father,
to put you
first.
Lord,
we
do this.
We're not just
talking
about
the speech
that
you have
allowed
for
that
but
the
thing
loss
of significant
people.
Let us
put you in
your
rightful
place,
Father.
And
if they
choose
to
put you
more
to
the
focus,
then
our
hearts
will be
fine
to
us
in our
hands
before
we
could ever
have
in
the show.
We will see our soul,
which
is the
focus,
Jesus,
that
allows
us
to see
for
good
of
us.
us, of our souls, to put all of us for having our own perspective and our own souls. Help us, Father, to put you first.
We're not talking about the speech that you have allowed us to do.